Board Gaming with Education, a podcast for anyone curious about how games and education mix. We explore various topics like game-based learning, gamification, and board games, and the impacts they have on learning. Here's your host, Dustin Statz.
Welcome to Board Gaming with Education. We have another special episode for you today. It is the second episode in our mini-series, Gamification Diaries. In this episode, Grace and I talk about day three of her classroom. This is the third week of the quarter and my third time in one of her classes. Her class is an English language level classroom, high school classroom, and we use a gamification system to help create class culture, develop motivation, and help students engage in learning English. So be sure to listen in. We talk about some of the challenges and some of the successes in implementing this system, and we'll go over that in our episode right after we hear from our sponsor, Amped Up Learning. Amped Up Learning is a great sponsor of Board Gaming with Education. They make a lot of game-based resources for the classroom, project-based resources, a lot of other things on their website at ampedUpLearning.com. They have apparel for history teachers, history buffs. Check it out. They also make a couple history-based board games. One is called Freck. It's a new tabletop card game and classroom resource aimed at teaching your students key social studies vocabulary in an engaging, competitive, and creative way. So definitely check out their website. They have resources for teachers. They have apparel for educators. If you do go to their website, be sure to use the coupon code BGEGAMES to receive a 10% discount on any of your purchases. Again, that's ampedUpLearning.com. Teacher-owned company. They're right at home at Board Gaming with Education, helping you bring more innovative lesson plans and ideas to your classroom. Welcome to Board Gaming with Education. I'm your host, Dustin, and we have with us Grace.
Hello, everyone.
So this is another Gamification Diaries episode. So this episode, we will talk about using a gamification system in Grace's classroom. She teaches English language education at a high school here in Taipei.
Yeah.
So, Grace, what's new?
Lots of things.
Yeah, actually, probably not much, because we're actually recording this episode the same night we recorded the first Gamification Diaries episode. But we wanted to break it into two parts. So this episode, we are going to talk about day three. And a lot happened for day three. A lot happened for the process of starting and day one and day two. But I think we were able to combine that into one episode.
Right.
So for this episode, we are going to talk about day three. So day three, when we first started class, how do you think your students were feeling about the gamification system?
I think part of it was still unclear. Like, they have these characters, they created them, and yes, they did a writing assignment where they put their character in a scenario, but I don't think they were quite prepared for what was coming.
Yeah, I think this gamification thing is really new for a lot of students, and they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
They're a little confused, but at the same time, they're used to, I think, playing video games, and I remember the first week I asked them what is RPG and what is XP. And these are language learners, right? Their English is still, they're still working on improving their English. So they might not be aware of these types of acronyms, but they, most of them,
they knew what
knew
XP
exactly
was,
what XP and, yeah, was, and they knew what RPG
to level
was.
Up, yeah. And I just always talk about how one student came up to me and they're like, I spent the whole break gaming. And I asked him, what game were you playing? He was like, you know, the one that tells you to eat a chicken for dinner after eat chicken for dinner after playing if you win. And I was like, what game tells you to eat chicken? And he's like, it says chicken, well, winner winner chicken dinner. And I had to like explain that whole thing to the that phrase, but it was funny. He thought the game was telling him to go eat chicken for dinner since he was a winner.
So he ate a lot of chicken for dinner.
Must have.
Yeah, I think that's from, I don't know now. I think Pug, Players Unknown, Players Unknown Battleground.
That's
either that or Fortnite. I can't remember which one says that at the end. I don't usually win either of them, so I never
eat chicken
for dinner.
But it was just so funny. He was like, it kept telling me to eat chicken because I was winning. It's like, well, not literally.
Yeah, that's funny. I think they know games.
Yeah, right? They're definitely familiar just with them.
Not games in class or games in school.
Yeah, I think in local school, they're really used to having a lot of homework, a lot of tests, a lot of memorization. And some of them are, of course, getting used to the system at our school. Our school is an international school. It's an American school. So it's kind of run as if it were in the United States. So everything's in English. We're also an iPad school, so every student has an iPad.
Yeah, so I think this is probably a general assumption or general feeling that games for students, it's not new, but games in school for students, most of the time it's new for those students.
And I think that can be said all across the board, no matter what country.
Yeah, right. I think it's just a kind of new concept. Even, I mean, gamification has been around for a long time, like adding elements of any type of game element to something has been around for a long time. And even more so in recent years with a lot of apps that use like badges and reward points for different things like flyer miles. That's a gamification system that has been added to something.
Yeah, and I've tried Classcraft last year. I was really bad at implementing that, so it kind of died down pretty quick. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of tools out there.
So they were still new to the system today. We had my third day in your class. But it's actually, what, the second week? Almost finished with the second week on Thursday. This is the second Thursday of the semester, right?
Right. So we're finishing up week 2 out of 9.
Wow. So we only have, I'm only going to be there 7 more times. Yes. That's not a lot. Wow. So, okay. What do you think maybe was familiar to them when I came to the class?
Well, you told them to bring out their character sheets and then we moved the chairs to be more friendly for the game. So we kind of set it up in a U formation so everyone can kind of see each other throughout the game. And I think one thing that really resonated with me or I really noticed was when you took out the dice and handed each student a die. I could tell like things were lighting up in their heads, like their eyes popped. Because as you were explaining, you gave a little short sample scenario. One of the students was like, oh, I think I know, like, I think I played something similar or like the style. I think one student said, oh, isn't this like Adventureland or Adventure Time? I don't know what they were talking
Adventure
about.
Adventure Time, that's a show. Adventureland is a theme park.
No, but it was like Adventure something, maybe Adventure Stories. He said it reminded him of something. So I think when you started taking those elements out like and handing them the dice, they started getting really excited.
Yeah, one thing I noticed that I do in a lot of my classes that I was kind of happy with how I set up the structure for this class is usually my warm-up is the fun activity of the class. But this class, we did the quote-unquote fun activity in towards the middle of the class. So the warm-up of the class I just asked the students, hey, what is an RPG? Can you tell me what an RPG is? And they kind of knew RPG as role-playing game, and we talked about it the first week, but I wanted them to kind of tell me, well, what do you expect in an RPG? What are you supposed to do in an RPG? And so on. So we did that as the warm-up, and after the warm-up, they started to dive even deeper into their characters and start to form a group and start to really see their classroom culture and their classmates as characters in a group kind of working together.
Yeah, I think the setup of the chairs really helped because everyone could face each other and see each other. So it kind of forced even the quieter ones. I always talk about the quieter ones, but even the quieter ones to kind of be present and be there with everyone. And we have a few that kind of try to sneak a little cell phone work in there. But then this setup also kind of stopped that, or like it was harder for them to sneak in a little check in their phone. And also one thing I noticed when you did a little example. So Before you started, you handed the dice, and then you gave an example of a dragon, like, coming out, correct?
Yeah, that was part of the lesson, too, is they had to practice RPG, I guess. Practice playing an RPG game. And I asked them, why do they have dice? And they kind of told me, oh, we have to beat something, or we have to win. And I was like, okay, sure. That's part of the reason. And then now, why does Mr. Dustin have dice? Why do I also have dice? And I kind of held out like 12 of them, and they all got, what? That's not fair. You get 12. They're not very excited that I had all the dice. But then we kind of went through the fact that I will be rolling dice trying to beat them. I also explained, but I'm the dungeon master, and I can lie if I want to. I can change my dice if I want to. So we fought a dragon at the beginning. I have a PPT or PowerPoint where click a button, the dragon popped up on the screen and it made a roar. And I said, you're facing a dragon. What do you do? And one student said, I punch him. I'm like, okay, punch him where? Punch him how? And he kind of was able to explain a little bit more. Again, they're working on their English, so they're working on the communicative approach of learning English, using their English to communicate what they want to do. And they're able to say he punches him in the neck. He says, I run up to him and I punch him in the neck. I said, okay, roll your dice. And he rolled his dice, and he rolled, I think it was a 2.
Yeah, he kept rolling pretty low numbers throughout the day.
Yeah, and then so I rolled my dice and I rolled a 3. And I said, okay, the dragon dodges your punch. What do you do? And he says, oh, I run away. And I'm like, okay, roll your dice. And he rolls a 1. And he's like, oh, no. And I roll, and I roll a 2. And so, okay, the dragon grabs you by the shirt and lifts you up into the air. Now you're hanging from the dragon's mouth by your shirt. And I look to the class, the rest of the students. I'm like, are you guys going to save him? What are you going to do? And a lot of them like raise their hand, and another one is like, I'm going to run away.
Yeah, I think the funniest part was like, we asked, is anyone going to help him? And one of the students raised his hand immediately and was like, oh, me, like, choose me. And we chose him, and he was like, I'm going to go away. And I was like, but we asked for some help. And he's like, no, I'm just going to leave him there. So, but thankfully, I think some others decided to help.
Yeah, we had to, in the beginning, we had to remind them too, they're playing as their character and not as the student.
Right.
And once we kind of reminded them, we're like, oh, yeah, I can.
Yeah, so that student that wanted to run away was actually, their character was a wizard. So their character had some magic that could help him out.
Yeah, and then another, I think, how they released the dragon, because it was a practice. We wanted to kind of move it on to the actual adventure. Was another student said, his character is Eminem number 2. And so he said, I want to annoy him with my raps.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, okay, roll for it. And he rolls a 6. Yeah. And so I said, your raps are so clever and so smart that you are able to put the dragon to sleep.
Yeah, they love that. Everyone cheered after that. Yeah.
So that was just a quick introduction on how to play. We also talked about, very quickly, and this is something maybe we'll do next week, is note-taking. If anyone that plays RPGs might be familiar with the idea of taking notes in the RPG, so you can keep track of all the characters, all the events that happen, because some of those things might overlap with things in the future of the story or the game you're playing. So I went over the reason why we take notes and how they can take notes during the RPG. I wrote a big exclamation point with important on the board. I was going to use that to point to every time something was important that they needed to write down. I kind of forgot as I got into the game, unfortunately. But I think, I mean, you said you noticed some students still taking down notes.
Yeah, and there were a few times where we would use maybe new words for some of the students. And I heard them say, what was that? Or what was that word? And I would go and write that on the board. And I could see some students writing it down in their notes, and also a few also looking up the meaning of the words on their iPads.
Right. I think also just a side note, I think if you are a teacher, one theme you might see in these episodes is I guess maybe we can call it teacher efficiency, because there are two of us in the classroom.
Right, right.
Your class size is only 10. So I think if someone were to do the game we did, it would take maybe an extra 10, 15 minutes. We spent about, I wasn't keeping track of the clock exactly when we started and when we ended. I just know we needed to finish 20 minutes so you could give your students some time. But do you remember, I think it was about 20, 25 minutes we spent on the actual adventure game, the RPG game?
Yeah, I would say 25 to 30, maybe.
Okay, so if you maybe were running this game on your own and you had to explain these words,
it might take a little bit longer, yeah. And also, with a larger class size, you really need to think about the setup of the classroom a little bit longer. I think the U-shape really worked for us. But just some way where everyone can kind of see each other, as opposed to just looking up at the board, because then they can kind of look at each other for help throughout the game. And even those students that don't want to jump in to help, others will look around just trying to find someone. And that's when the quieter ones can jump in, or you can call on them and say, hey, they need help. And you're around. Right. So I think there's a little bit of pressure for them as well, as if they can see everyone.
Yeah, I think that one thing too to keep in mind, if you have a larger class, it might have to be a classroom consensus as to what the class does.
Right.
Or allow certain characters to do things in order, maybe.
Like a voting system, or yeah, like you said, order, like around the room.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be this student than this student, but like just if a student raises their hand, they can choose to do something versus taking turns that way, right? So then after we did the practice with the dragon, we went into our story. I want to kind of talk about the story a little bit, and then I want to eventually put it onto the website, but hopefully at the time of this episode, it will be available. You can check out the blog post associated with this podcast episode by following your podcast platform, whatever app you use. You can usually just go straight to episode webpage and you should be able to see the materials or resources with this episode. But the story, can I ask you, Grace, because I wrote the story, did you like the story?
Yes.
Saying that because you're my wife?
I mean, to be honest, I only read my part of the story and kind of just relied on your kind of synopsis that you gave me beforehand. In the story, I was the witch. and I think the students really enjoyed seeing their teacher in that position. I think at one point I told them, get out of the woods. These are my woods. And I said it like kind of harshly and like in character. And you could tell it kind of threw them off that their teacher was acting this out. It was interesting.
Yeah. So we talked about the theme of the classroom last semester. I mean, last podcast episode. I teach too much. So last podcast episode talked about the theme, and we did it pretty broad, interdimensional travelers. So they have an ITD, which is an interdimensional travel device, and they're able to use it to travel anywhere.
Actually, before we got into the game, we had the students determine relationships.
Oh, right.
We forgot about that. That came before the dragon.
Before the dragon, they talked about how they knew one other character and then how they came to find the group.
We had the students determine what other character in the class that they were familiar with. So building relationships, some were friends, coworkers, siblings, and then determine how exactly they met. From there, they also had to talk about what their desire was, which is really nice because that was their vocabulary word. So for some of them, some of the boys said they wanted to find a girlfriend, or some said boyfriend or family members. So that kind of determined why they joined the group.
Yeah, some of the things were pretty clever. One student, he was the John Cena inspiration character.
Yeah.
He said he needed to go back in time to find his two children.
Yeah.
So he lost his two children. He didn't really explain, like, did they die or were they just... He actually said they were lost. So that's kind of... I wonder how he, yeah, how he created that story. Yeah,
it's like really sad. Very grim story.
Another character is Jelly C, and it's like a jellyfish, and she wanted to find a lot of starfish
to like befriend pets. Yeah. And then there was another one where he wants a girlfriend, but the girlfriend he wants it to be an alien.
Right.
So some pretty creative stuff.
Yeah. So, and I think that was tied into the story because I asked, like, okay, so your character only wants to go into the future or into a different universe because you cannot find an alien in the past.
Right. So it kind of determined some of their roles, like the John Cena-inspired character. He just wanted to go in the past. And I think there were a few other characters with similar intentions to just go in the past.
Yeah, it really played to the desire of the character and what they wanted during the story, too.
And you could tell that in the decision-making process during the story, they had that fresh in their mind.
Also, how they came together as a group, I thought it was pretty clever. One of your students, I think every once in a while he surprises you, it seems like, surprises. He surprised me with his comment. It was kind
of
clever.
He's one of those students where he's one of the lower level students, but at the same time, he's always the one that just blurts out answers, and they tend to be pretty funny. And it's hard for me to keep a straight face sometimes with some of his answers. But yeah, he's just, sometimes you think he's not listening and then he blurts out like something super clever. And that was one of those times.
So they all met at a bus station and they were all going to travel and they found their interdimensional travel device. And in the story, they take the device and it takes them to the past and they get there. And on the PowerPoint that I created, it still needs some work, but I just had to put it together for the class. And I want to create some animations a little bit more solid, and I'll add that to the blog post as well. And they take the device and it sets on fire. There's just some graphics to show that it's on fire on the PowerPoint. And then they end up in the forest with the witch, and there's just a little picture of the witch doing something. And then I give them four options, because I think this is really new to the students. And when I first played an RPG, it was really hard for me to decide what to do because there were no options. And for me, that was hard. I'm used to playing board games. I'm used to being constrained to rules and rule sets and different mechanics, where in RPG, I can do whatever I want. And I couldn't decide when I first started playing RPG. I just sat there. I did not talk about the whole game. I maybe said like one sentence the whole game.
Yeah, I remember my first time going to play an RPG game. You had told me, like, oh, it's okay if you don't want to talk, you don't have to talk. And that same day when I went there, I did something and now it was all on me. So I was talking so much and it was not what I expected at all. I was not mentally prepared for all the questions.
Yeah, I think Spencer, he is another semi-regular co-host on the show. He read into you talking early on. And then he was like, okay, she's ready to go. She's ready to play.
And I was just like, nope. I mean, I did end up going through the scenario, but I just remember at the end, just going over to you and be like, I thought I would be able to just sit back and go with the group.
Yeah, so I gave him options in the story too. Or in their story, because I think that was maybe helpful for them. I'm not sure. What did you think?
Yeah, definitely. Especially for the first game where they're not quite sure. Because even afterwards, when I asked for feedback, I asked the students, oh, did you want to go into town? And some students were still like, oh, right, that was an option. Like, they weren't aware of how many options they had. Like, yes, you had those four, and there could have been more, but I think it was helpful because they saw the picture of the witch, and even though they saw those four choices, they still, like, focused on the witch, and so that's why they went to her. So I think giving them options that are away from the witch also was helpful, even though they ended up not taking it.
Right. And I think that's part of what an RPG is, right? They can go anywhere. And so I tried to create a story with like little cookie crumbs to lead them to what they needed to do. I made different paths they can take. And there were cookie crumbs that led them a certain way, each different path. But they could go anywhere, really. So I gave them four options. One was confront the witch. So confront, they could have done anything. They could have fought the witch. They could have talked to the witch. They could have just walked up to the witch. Another one was explore the town. Another one was try to go back with the interdimensional travel device. And then the last one was something else. And that's where they could really, if they wanted to, do anything else. So those were kind of the cookie crumbs where if they went to the witch, that was you, we'll come back to you, because that was how they actually played the game. They didn't choose the other two. The two they didn't choose was to go to the ITD, the interdimensional travel device. And if they did that, they would just see it's broken. So they'd have to choose another option. And that's just there to show them, okay, they can choose the wrong way and then change their decision.
And they could try to fix it.
Yeah, they try to fix it and then find out maybe they can't fix it. But the other option was the town. And with the town, there were three places they could go in the town. That was townhouses, which are just houses in the town, the lodge, or the chief's house. So if they went to the townhouses, they would find two empty houses and two houses with a person inside. One house, the person would reveal information about the queen, which is where the chief's building was, or information about the witch. And that little bit of information would help them figure out how to get back on their ITD, interdimensional travel device. Call it ITD because it's easier for the students and for me to say. And then if they just went to confront the queen, which we didn't see them go through town. And if they went through town, they would have seen the witch that way too. But the queen, if they went to the queen, they would have been able to do a favor for her, and she would give them what they need to get back on their ITD. And what did they need to get back?
So we incorporated what we had just been covering in class. And on Wednesdays, so the day before, we do Word Whiz Wednesdays. So it's all about new vocabulary words. And so what they needed to do to get back was the witch was creating a potion, and the potion required them to have 8 complete sentences, each one using a new vocabulary word. So it was nice because everyone got a chance to write their sentences on the board. And we went through them as a class and made sure we made some corrections, and then they unlocked it.
Yeah, but before we got there, there's something that I think was really important or paramount to the story, and important for when you play RPGs is having the NPCs, and those are the non-playable characters. Grace just gave me a really weird look, like, what are you talking about?
I don't know this lingo.
So if you know RPGs, an NPC is a non-playable character, someone that's part of the story that the players cannot be. And you were one of them. The queen was the other, and I was going to be the queen. And what's really important is for those NPCs to also have a motive and a background to who they are. And for the queen, her motive was someone who was very greedy to get where she was. And also, she wanted to please people. So she was greedy, but she also wanted to make people happy. And she wanted people to like her. So what she had to get the students back is you didn't see this, so you might be a little lost, is she had a pet witch.
What?
Yeah, so she had a witch that would do magic for her. And if the students were to promise her something, the promise was to do the vocabulary sentences. Mm-hmm. To do the 8 sentences, and then she would give them, or her witch would create the potion to get them back. And the potion was the fuel for their travel device. And so the witch, what was her motive?
So the witch was a little, at first she didn't want to trust the group.
Yeah, they attempted to, did they try to fight you? Yeah, they tried to punch you, I think, or something. They tried to fight you and they missed.
But it was that one student who was rolling really badly the whole time. So I did beat them. So they.
He just got more angry and yelled at him more.
Yeah. And I liked playing that character. So they did try to punch me right off the bat, which was funny. I think they went straight to violence. And then I got angry at them. And then when another student was like, rolled and said, I just want to run away. And so my dialogue was like, she's the smart one. You should all follow her. You should all follow her out of my woods and things like that. And I think, like I said previously, I think the students at that point really started feeling it because I was a little more like out of my teacher element a little bit.
Yeah, one student tried to use magic on you and they succeeded in rolling, but you don't do magic. He tried to disable your magic, that's right. But you don't do magic. You were creating a magic potion. So, and eventually, like, I had to help them realize that they should just talk to you.
instead of just trying to attack me.
I asked them, why are you beating her up? Like, why is she bad? Is she good? Why do you want to beat her up?
And they were just like, all witches are bad.
Yeah, and I was like, think about your motive, what your character wants. And it wasn't to, I think they realized it wasn't to beat up the witch. They wanted to get back home or take their travel device to where they want to go. And I think the travel device and the character's desires will be a good way to help them think about what to do in stories when we do it again.
Yeah. Afterwards, I asked a student, like, what did your character, if it was just your character there, what would they do? And their desire was to eat in these different places. And he was just like, I just want to go to town and try the food. And I was like, okay, well, maybe during our next game we can get a group to follow you that way.
Yeah, so eventually they wrote the sentences, the witch gave them the potion, and they took their travel device back, but they actually rolled, and they rolled to take it back and to see if it was fixed, and they failed. And it was actually a tie in the roll, and then I said, well, I'm Mr. Dustin, and I say it's a fail. And they were like, what? Not fair, but that's what happens. And then the very last slide of the adventure was a man, you cannot see his face, and just a laugh. So I don't know if you were paying attention, but if you were, or if your students caught it, when they take the travel device the first time, there's the same laugh on the first slide, the sound.
Oh, I don't think I caught
that. Yeah, it's in the background while the explosion noise happens. You hear the laugh also. So it's the same laugh. So if your student would have caught.
I think I was too concerned on just how they were reacting.
Yeah, so this character will reappear in other stories because this is the character that has damaged their device and is their arch nemesis of the group.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I think I might.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah, I might keep you in the dark as I build on this story. All right, so before we end the episode, let's recap really quickly to put it all in order. How we started the lesson today and kind of what I did to prepare. I created the story before. We started with a quick warm up about what is an RPG game, and then we went into the leaderboard. So that was cool for them to see again was the leaderboard, and we have a couple students up at the top, one with 90, one with 80, and one with 60. And then most of the other students around 40 or 50. So it's pretty even right now. And then I asked if anyone had obtained any items because I want to help them constantly be aware they can unlock an item. And then I mentioned something that we didn't talk about earlier was they can choose a role for their class, or they can choose a role to have in class. So we're going to introduce some roles they can choose from next week. And then they built their character relationships and how they formed as a group. I gave them a short lecture on note-taking and how to take notes during the game. Then we showed them how to practice playing RPG with a dragon, and then we went on our adventure and incorporated some vocabulary. Now, what was something that went well or that you really saw as beneficial for your students or you think is really good as a teacher? Or something that was challenging?
I normally like to do board work, which means like not B-O-R-E-D.
Boring work or?
B-O-A-R-D. So where I have students go at different points during the classroom up on the board doing something. And it's usually there's a time constraint or time limit or in groups. And sometimes it works really well. Other days they're kind of like, oh, okay, like I'm going to take my time going up to the board. This time when we asked them to write the 8 sentences to get back to the machine, like everyone like That's shot right. up, like shot up.
I forgot
and
about that.
They yeah. rushed, and some of them that might have forgotten a few words grabbed like their notes really quickly, and like everyone was like, there's no pen, there's not enough markers. And I was like, I have more markers here, like come get them from me. And it just that reaction was really just awesome to see. And actually that's when our principal walked in, and I was like, this is the point where it looks crazy, but it's a I was really excited because that much energy to go write sentences, vocabulary words on the board was awesome to see. I think that was something really positive because, yes, we were playing this game as a group, and yes, it's helping their conversation, but now this task that they had to do to move on in the game seemed a lot more important, and they took it more seriously, and they were really motivated to do that so that they can continue with the game.
Yeah, it was, I forgot about that. They were all ready to write on the board.
Yeah, they actually, all like threw their like actually didn't chairs expect back. It
because like I think your principal came in to kind of just ask what was going on and see how the lessons have been going, because I had talked to him about coming yeah. to your class and doing research.
It was like craziness when he came in. I was like, oh, maybe not the best time to come in, but it was just so funny to see their energy. Like, they had this goal. The witch told them 8 sentences. There's 10 of them. At least 8 of them will be correct, you know? And so they shot up really quickly. And I said, like, make sure they're not the same, like, words, and they're different. And so they were communicating with each other. What word are you using? And, like, seeing that collaboration like on the first day we're playing a game is awesome.
Right. And how about any challenges or any things that we should consider?
I would say, as there tends to be in these types of situations in the classroom, there's always a small group that dominates the conversation or the way the game is going while others are kind of just listening. And for the first game, we kind of allowed a few people to sit by. Even though there's just 10 of them, there were like maybe I can think of 2 that just sat. I mean, they were engaged taking notes and laughing throughout the whole thing, but they didn't actually participate or roll. And I think making sure everyone kind of has a chance to do something might be something we pay stronger attention to moving forward.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, it also speaks to the different types of learners, too, because right. when I was in college and, well, up until maybe the last year of college, I was always the student who never talked and just listened. Like, I would hardly or rarely get involved in classroom discussion right. until that last year, and I think that's just because of the type of learner I am. Even now, when I go to meetings for work or anything, it's funny because I have a podcast and I talk a lot, but I think I usually soak in a lot more of what's going on around me. But yeah, I think that incorporating some way that those learners can be more engaged, not necessarily by speaking, because if they right. don't want to talk, I think you should get them to speak up in class because they're improving their language and that's important. But there can be other ways we can add to it, maybe like a writing reflection at the end right. as to what their character was thinking in that situation, because
that might,
when
yeah,
I've played RPGs, I'm always thinking, oh, what would I do or what should I do? But I haven't always spoken up because other people took control.
Yeah, I think definitely now that you mention it, a reflection at the end of every game that could be like their writing assignment for homework or something, if we don't have time even. Because not only does that reinforce their learning, but then it gives them a chance to maybe talk about the direction they would have taken if they were given the opportunity. I guess I was also a learner that kept very quiet in high school and was only like answer when called on type of person.
Now we're both just gabbing away.
But I think teachers that kind of forced me to like speak up really helped me, because like now I didn't feel like awkward raising my hand or like jumping in, but then like they called on me, so like I have to say something. So now I'm that person at the meeting that if they say, does anyone have questions, I'll be like, me. And everyone hates me because I'm extending the meeting time. But obviously our students don't need to be chatting it up, but just some way for them to kind of be able to have their say in the story. So how about you? What would you say were a positive and negatives of?
Oh, thank you for asking. So one thing that was positive, I think I wish we would have mentioned it earlier, but it was the energy. I think at the beginning of class, your students were not, I mean, they're maybe a little excited to see me because I was in class and, you know, they like something different.
They don't want me. I'm just kidding.
Well, I wouldn't say that. They just, you know,
I'm just kidding. They love me.
They weren't super thrilled. Maybe they might have been excited to see me, but definitely not so thrilled to be in class. That happens with a lot of classes sometimes.
Especially since it's a morning class. So a lot of them still are like,
they're zombies kind of. Yeah, it's only the second period of the day. And the first one's not a full period, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, it's only like 45 minutes. So, yeah. I mean, it's for us, it's not super early. But for them, it's a challenge to stay awake.
Yeah, so I think regardless, by the time the class moved on, they were a lot more excited. I can kind of see them coming out of their shell a little bit when we started doing the characters. And then when got the dice out and when they were like, oh, I have to fight a dragon, I saw like four hands just shoot up, like wanted to do something to it. And then like throughout the whole RPG game, they were just chatting and smiling, and they're excited to use English. I know your school is an all English school,
right?
Only spoken English, so it's not as, for me it's like, wow, when I see students excited to speak, it's always very rewarding, I think.
We're an all English school, but you know, every now and then you get the students that are in the hallways speaking Chinese and we have to tell them to stop. But it was definitely nice to see, because they were more focused, because if they wanted to do something in the game or wanted to affect the way the game was going, they had to communicate that in English. So you could see a lot more communication within each other, because they tend to, in the hallways or at lunch, speak to each other in Chinese just because that's their like native language and what they're most comfortable in. But now like you can see them just blobbing away in English, and it's like, you can do this outside in the hallways too.
they're not trying to coax witches into giving them potions in the hallway, so. I think, that was definitely something that was really cool to see. As far as something to keep in mind moving forward would be making sure what characters do in the story have some sort of real impact to their characters outside of the story. So they're always doing this story, but then what does it actually mean to the characters after the story is finished? Because again, I'm really trying to create a system that can be implemented in any classroom or any curriculum, but really thinking about what happens to these characters outside. I think a lot of times what you can do is create like different skills they're working towards, but I think that complicates the system a little bit and maybe could be an add-on for next quarter. All right, so that's it for the second episode of Gamification Diaries. Woo. Thank you for listening, Grace. Thank you for coming on the show again and inviting me to your classroom.
You can come any day.
Any day. All right, so until next time. Thank you for listening in to Board Gaming with Education this week. Definitely go to our website. You can check out some resources we have associated with this gamification system. With each episode, we will come out with those resources that we used in class. At the end of this series, we're hoping to compile a gamification kit that can be used in your classroom as well. Stay tuned to hear more information about that. We will look for some playtesters, so if you are interested in using this type of system in your class and receiving feedback and also providing feedback to us so we can make it the best gamification kit possible, definitely reach out to us. You can find us through email, podcast@boardgamingwitheducation.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That's Board Gaming with Education or BGE Games. All right, until next time, we'll be back with the episode number 3 of the mini series Gamification Diaries. We want to thank our sponsor again, Amped Up Learning. We cannot say it enough that they found a perfect home here at Board Gaming with Education because they're also a teacher-owned company. They strive to make learning fun, engaging, and competitive with unique games and teacher-created lessons. They have a lot of resources on their website, ampedeuplearning.com, for teachers in history, language arts, English language education, math, a lot of different content areas, science. Be sure to check out their site. See if there's anything that sticks out to you, stands out to you as a teacher. Maybe you're teaching an upcoming unit and they have a resource that just perfectly may fit your needs. That's ampedeuplearning.com. They also have a couple board games, one called Freck and Risk It. Risk It is a new way to compete in history class. It involves teams, trivia, and taking chances. So be sure to check out their website, and if you do, use the coupon code BGEGAMES, and that's ampedeuplearning.com.
Thank you for listening in this week. If you like what you heard, be sure to let us know. You can find us on social media as Board Gaming with Education or BGE Games, or email us at podcast@boardgamingwitheducation.com. If you want to support our podcast, be sure to check out our support page on our website. As always, teach better, learn more, and most importantly, play more. Thank you for listening, and until next time.